Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds, and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance, and dental care. This is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. Because your pet health matters. Please welcome your pet doctor host, veterinary media consultant, and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
According to the American Veterinary Medical Association, it's estimated that of the 83 million cats in the United States, only one-third receive adequate, regular veterinary attention. So why are these felines merely scratching the surface of the medical care they need? This segment of The Pet Doctor will feature Dr. Patricia Olson of the Morris Animal Foundation. She'll help to clear away the fur and show cat owners how to keep their feline friends purring with optimal health. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Want to know what cats like to eat for breakfast? Mice Krispies, of course. Learn everything there is to know about cats on Catitude with your host, Tom Dock. Each week, we'll spotlight a cool cat breed, give up-to-date advice on cat health, and check out spiffy new cat products. So curl up on the couch every week for a perfectly enjoyable time on Catitude. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Pets are part of the family, and when traveling with your dog, there's only one magazine to include when packing your doggy's duffel bag, and that's Fido Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog. Each bi-monthly issue includes hotel, city and state reviews, and doggy destinations to explore with your furry companion. Fido Friendly magazine can be found at Borders, Barnes & Noble, PetSmart, Pet Boutiques, and Fido Friendly hotels nationwide. Or you can go online to subscribe at www.FidoFriendly.com. So get traveling with your pet today and leave no dog behind. And remember, Fido Friendly's the only magazine dedicated to the travel lifestyle of man's best friend and the one magazine your dog will thank you for.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and will see you now.
Dr. Olson, thank you so much for being with us today. Tell us, why are these poor little kitties not going in to see their veterinarians?
Well, it's a puzzle to many of us. And we're not exactly sure. And veterinarians are actually looking at trends over the past several years. And in fact, a relatively lesser percentage of cats are in fact getting the care. Now, maybe there's a little bit of good news to this. We also know that cats are getting older. But just because they're getting older doesn't mean that they don't have incredible health needs and that they don't need their routine visits. So there can be several reasons for this. One is cats are difficult to take to a veterinarian. And, you know, as a cat owner, former cat owner myself, they're not always excited about getting in the car and going for the visit.
Mind you, see the carrier and they're gone.
Yeah, they hide. Exactly. So they're not, and they're very, very smart. So they're like, you know, we're out of here. It's okay. You just go for that little trip. We're not participating.
Dumb like the dog.
Exactly. And then they're not always excited about taking medication either. So owners have this I think sometimes a fear that, oh my gosh, am I going to have to go in, and then what if there's something wrong, and am I going to have to actually put a pill down this cat's mouth, and this is going to be horrible. So compliance relative to treating cats is not great either. And fortunately, there are new products now. Manufacturers and pharmaceutical companies are understanding this, and some new products coming on the market can be applied topically, which, you know, is great, or in a formulation that a cat might like. So we're not, but the bottom line is we're still not sure why they're going in. One thing that is perhaps contributing is we have not maybe always told owners why it's important or when appropriate visits are required. So there's a coalition of pharmaceutical companies and foundations and veterinary associations and cat advocates that are getting together to say what we probably need is to really clearly state to owners, what are the health guidelines that say I should bring a cat in, and when and how often. So for example, you know, when I turn 40, I suddenly have a new mammogram schedule. You know, when I'm 50, maybe I need colonoscopy. Well, cats have that exact same thing that they need, and now guidelines are going to be developed by many organizations working together.
Because cats really are very good at hiding their signs of illness. A dog will be, you know, right there in your face, and all of a sudden, it's not there in your face asking to be fed. You know, what's wrong? Or the dog that's asking to go outside and go potty. And if you have your cat who uses the cat box, and many times, like, I have two kitties, it's like, who's doing what in that cat box? You don't always really know. So they're sneaky little devils.
They are, and their physiology is very different. For example, a cat can be extremely anemic before an owner may really see that that cat is lethargic or not as active, whereas a dog could never become that anemic without us knowing it. So their own unique physiology is different. You're absolutely right. They can mask their symptoms. I always suggest that what people do is just be very attentive to any change. And changes, you know, can be a clue that maybe there's something wrong. So they become less active. They become more active. They drink less water. They drink more water. They gain weight. They lose weight. And things like that can certainly suggest that perhaps you should take them in to have a good, thorough examination.
I think most veterinarians are now recommending that all pets, cats as well as those sneaky little cats, be brought in at least twice a year for a good physical examination. And oftentimes my clients will look at me and going, you're just trying to make money. That's why you want me to bring the cat or dog in twice a year. And then I explain, no, your pet, one of their years is typically about seven of ours. So a tremendous amount can change in such a short amount of time. And if I can find a problem before it becomes, excuse me, catastrophic, then you're way ahead of the game.
Well, I think you're right. And actually, you know, in some cases, when they're little kittens, they're going to be brought in more than twice a year. There may be times when maybe once a year is okay when they're young and in good health. When they get to be geriatric, again, you may need to take them in more than twice a year. But I think that's, again, what we need to really articulate to owners is why. So all of us want to have good value for what we do. And certainly veterinarians are not just trying to make money. At least I hope most of us aren't. It's to give the animal the appropriate care at the appropriate time so we can optimize their health and their lives.
I was reading on the homepage for Morris Animal Foundation, I want you to discuss what that is in just a moment, that towards the end of this year of 2008, you're going to be part of the Feline Affirmative Action Initiative. What's that?
Well, thanks for asking. We're pretty excited about this. First of all, Morris Animal Foundation is a foundation that turned 60 years old this year. We provide funding for research to protect, treat, and cure animals, and these are dogs, cats, horses, birds, wildlife, and have been doing it, like I said, since 1948. Cats also receive less research done on their behalf. So when we get 500 proposals like we did last November, and we get many, many for dogs and other species, we typically have fewer for cats. Hence, their diseases are not researched as much either. So what we have done is we have kind of called to action, so to speak, researchers to partner with us, whereby we can address the cat's own unique diseases and hence help them. So thanks to Hill's Pet Nutrition, they have provided $1 million pledge to help us bring some research into this whole area for benefiting cats. And we're pretty excited about this because we've got to get research done, and we also have to train the future researchers who really want to dedicate their lives to enhancing the health of cats. So it should be pretty cool.
Kitties really seem to be second citizens sometimes, where people will think, well, you know, a cat is just a little dog and a dog's a little person. Well, it seems as though, in my veterinary experience, that dogs and people are a bit more closely related than that cat ever is. Have you found that to be true in these research projects that the Morris Animal Foundation has involved in?
Well, I don't know. You know, certainly relative to all the animal genomes right now, it sounds like we're learning a lot from both the feline and the canine genome that may help us humans. And so I think but you're absolutely right. You have to look at the cat as its own unique individual being. And I think what I always told my students when I was teaching at Colorado State University's Veterinary Teaching Hospital was, just as you said, a cat is not a small dog. So again, they've got very unique physiology. They're different creatures genetically. Their metabolism is different. We did a study at Morris Animal Foundation here a year or so ago, and the researchers found that drugs that work well for renal disease in dogs did not work at all for cats. So we have to always remember, you know, they're their own being.
You also did a study recently where they were looking at a fairly common problem in cats, that being of an embolism that forms in a cat due to platelet problems. Could you explain a little bit about the heartening news for cats with heart disease?
Yeah, when cats have heart disease, and sometimes they also have blood clots, and we did a study here within the last year or two that actually looked at a new medication that showed some promise to ameliorate that condition. In fact, there was a clinical study, and this is one of the joys that we have working at the foundation. One of the cats who was enrolled in the study survived and started his own blog, and it was just delightful. So his owner wrote to us at the foundation and thanked us for our help, said that Charlie had survived, and thanks to being enrolled in one of our clinical studies, had his blog and was saying, "I'm a stroke survivor, and now I'm looking for cute little girl kittens. Can anyone help me? I want a date because I feel so good now." So these are the wonderful things at the foundation. We get animals writing to us and thanking us, and people writing and thanking, and it's just so heartwarming that after we get one of those, you know, we're just invigorated to go out and do more good work. So that was a fun study.
Well, we've been talking with Dr. Patricia Olson of the Morris Animal Foundation about all the wonderful things that they're doing for cats and why our kitties do need to get in to see their veterinarian at least twice a year to keep them purring with health and contentment. We'll be right back after these few messages.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Attention passengers, please fasten your seatbelts, put your seat bags and sleeping pets in their full upright position, and prepare for takeoff.
Pet Life Radio presents Travel Tales, the show where you'll get great travel ideas on perfect places for you and your pet. From Paris to paradise, south of the border to the South Seas, Travel Tales will give you cool tips on fun vacation destinations to travel with your pet, pet-friendly hotels, and advice on how to travel safely and happily with your furry best friends. So, get ready to pack the bags and the bones with your Travel Tales hosts, Susan Sims and Nicholas Veslowski, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Greetings, human? What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet Magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet Magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and will see you now.
We're back now with Dr. Patricia Olson of the Morris Animal Foundation. Dr. Olson, isn't it somewhat a conflict of interest, or people might think that here you're trying to help animals, but you're doing research, promoting research in animals? People are oftentimes very concerned about using animals for research. What's your view on that?
Well, that's a great question. We have very strict health study guidelines as far as the foundation is concerned. And several years ago, Purina did a study. It was actually a survey of cat and dog owners, and Yankovic was the company that did the survey. And what was very interesting was if you ask people, what do you consider to be the most important issue to you relative to cats and dogs, roughly 10% of cat and dog owners said that the number one issue of concern was that there was not enough research being done to address health issues for their animals. Now, having said that, though, the public definitely wants the research to be humane and does not want any animal to suffer in any process. So a lot of what Morris Animal Foundation funds are like clinical trials. For example, we may fund a study that looks at two different types of surgery to determine which one is best. And all the ethical stops are in place that if suddenly one procedure is really looking like it's far better, then the study is stopped and all the other animals get that procedure. So I totally am right there with people who say research has got to be really well done and extremely humane, and every animal who participates in a study has to have the very best of care. Otherwise, it shouldn't be done at all.
You were also mentioning earlier on that the Morris Animal Foundation helps not just cats and dogs, but also wildlife. What type of projects do you have for wildlife?
Well, we're actually funding this year research that addresses the needs in 35 species. So that's amazing, just the numbers. But let me tell you some of the things that we have done that I think your listeners will recognize. We provided the research funding that developed the reproductive techniques that are allowing all these little baby panda cubs to be born in captivity. And we just heard a couple weeks ago that there is hope that by the year 2015, pandas will no longer be the endangered species that they are right now. We also have a study in Africa, Central Africa, which started in 1986 after Diane Fossey came to our founder's daughter, Ruth Kiesling, and said, "Can you help me? The mountain gorillas are endangered and there are only a couple hundred left." We've been funding that project ever since, and the good news is, in spite of wars and poaching and all sorts of horrible things, those numbers are now up to roughly 700. Another study that we did, which I think is very exciting, it took us 20 years, two decades, was to try to determine why sea otters were dying off the coast of California. And researchers identified that, here's something that your cat owners will relate to, some owners were flushing kitty litter down the toilet, and the cat is a carrier for toxoplasmosis, and while it may not show signs of illness, it was actually running off into the ocean and causing a neurological disease and killing sea otters. So California now has legislation saying don't flush the kitty litter down the toilet because we want to save the sea otters. So those are some examples of what we do for wildlife. And again, we're all of our species are part of this one world, one health, and we're pretty excited that we can help them all.
This is amazing, all the things that you're doing. People may have go, toxoplasmosis. Now, that kind of sounds familiar. Where have I heard that? And that's the disease that women have to be so careful as they're working out in the garden, digging in the dirt, or cleaning out their cat box. That disease can then get into their body if they're pregnant and affect their unborn fetus. So that's something they have to listen to. I'm not sure if you saw this, but it was actually listed on one of my blogs that I received that cats could actually lower the chance of people having heart attacks and strokes. So they did an extended study, and these were some findings that were basically just released from the American Stroke Association from their meeting in New Orleans. And they found that if you did not own a cat, you had a 40% greater chance of having a heart attack than cat owners did. And if you had a dog, it didn't make any difference whatsoever for your heart attack or stroke risk. So if somebody wants to really take care of their health, the answer is have a cat.
I think the human-animal bond work that's been done has just been so delightful, and some really good works. One of my favorite studies was by Karen Allen, where she looked at married couples and actually gave one member, one part of the couple, a stress test, and it was like a math test, and then did it with the spouse present alone, with the dog present, with the dog and the spouse, and of course everybody always knows what the answer is. The lowest stress was when you did the test with the dog, and the highest when you did the test with your spouse. So some of these studies are just a kick, and they tell us what we all know, is that cats, dogs are such an incredible part of our lives, and they're happy to see us, and we're happy to see them, and no wonder that our blood pressure drops after coming home from a hard day at work and seeing them.
I would definitely agree with that. If people wanted to learn more about the Morris Animal Foundation, where can they go?
Go on our website. It's www.morrisanimalfoundation.org. And you can click on different species, so whichever species you're interested in. It will detail our studies, our successes. Owners can go into a community section and actually talk to each other or do whatever you do on community sections. I'm hardly computer literate, so cats blogging and things like this are beyond me. But it's a wonderful website, very interactive. We have scientists there who share their personal stories as to why they're doing the research that they are. So I think your listeners would really enjoy that.
So it's a great way to be educated, a great way to help the environment, your cat, your dog, the pandas. We're all intertwined. So Dr. Patricia Olson of the Morris Animal Foundation, thank you so much for being with us. And hopefully more people will go to morrisanimalfoundation.org and find that they too can help the creatures that they live with. Again, Dr. Olson, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Stay tuned next week for some more interesting stories of how animals affect our lives.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Because they're a member of the family, keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. On demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.